Dempsey. Great start here. Can Dempsey score yet? The US ahead, incredibly, within seconds.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news and U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast news from this side of the pond, sir.
Sir, how we doing? How we doing? It's international break. It's World Cup qualifying time. United States Men's National Team, they are playing. Big second round of the qualifiers, sir. Ended on a high with the last round. Big games coming up.
Seriously, big games for the United States Men's National Team. Similar to Manchester United, sir, parallels of easy games. At home, gotta win, big points on the table. You can't leave it late against the Costa Ricas and Mexico away in this group. So 14 games, three in. The ship has not sunk yet. I think Berhalter had three games. All right, his first World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF, gotta figure it out. And he made some adjustments with his 27-man roster. A little more pace up top, trying to get in behind. I think that's really... should be more attractive football from the United States.
They certainly finished with more momentum than they started that first round of group games. Should be building off the momentum. They came back in that game, the third of which, what I believe was against Honduras, sir, if I remember correctly. But it's all on Berhalter, sir. You know, a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. They're a third right now in the group. They have to be at least chipping up a little bit. You would think third or better by the time the next three games play out, for him to be in a comfortable position.
I mean, look, he's the U.S. Men's National Team, the U.S. Soccer Federation, they love Berhalter. He's going to get a lot of time here. Like you said, we are third, but there's a three-way tie for third. So this big set of three games can make the difference for the United States going top, going second by distance, right? You're talking about Panama, who historically should be struggling, but they're kind of punching above their weight, given their fixtures to date. So we're tied with Canada, Panama, sir, third on 5 points. This group is going to get interesting. I'm excited for some quality football from the United States. You got to give the manager the chance to make the adjustments. I like what he did. Big players missing, though. Pulisic out, Reyna out. A few players who play in the UK can't go to Panama because of the COVID restrictions the UK putting on the red list. So a lot of curveballs here in CONCACAF. It's not going to be easy to get two easy results at home and then go away. Sir, it's going to be exciting stuff for the United States men's national team.
He would have learned a lot from that first set of matches, though. As you said, it's his first go around in the qualifiers. Players missing, but this is a pretty deep bench of talented U.S. players that are looking to make an impact. So he's going to look into his ability to like manage the squad, not go to his first starting 11 that he's going to be there every single game. So exciting to see some of those second string players looking to break on through get their chance over the coming games.
Sir, well, you know, let's start off with the just schedule overview. We're going to play Jamaica Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Then it's going to be Panama away in Panama City. It's going to be October 10th. That's a Sunday. And then we're going to be playing against Costa Rica October 13th, which is a Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. So Costa Rica, Jamaica at home, Jamaica being the easiest game. Panama away, if we could pip them for a point or three, would be huge. And then the Costa Rica game ending strong, sir. Costa Rica historically have beat us up in World Cup qualifying. We owe them one. So I'm hoping the United States can get 7 points. What are you feeling? How many points do we need to get out of these next three games?
I mean, six would be good. I feel like that game down in Panama on Sunday night in Panama City on a Sunday night, he's going to be like very hostile.
Big Panama City fan right here. this guy's a big Panama
Tell
City.
Tell me all about it. Quite a town, but can you imagine going to an away game there? It'd probably be something else. So I think that's like kind of the meatball of this lineup. Costa Rica at home, obviously a tough opponent, and then Jamaica out the gates. I think it's important to start strong. Berhalter's going to want that. The boys are going to want that.
Sir, it's Berhalter from now on the podcast.
I think if he qualifies, I will officially figure out how to say his name.
So, you know, big shout out to our boy, Miguel. Unfortunately, he's sick, not doing too well. So he couldn't make the pod today. So you got the two Muppets. You know, I would say I kind of know my stuff. Alex, I said, how much research do you do coming into this pod? He said zero. So, you know, Alex is just shooting from the hip, loves the biased fan take from the couch. Your view on the U.S. men's national team is funny because I do follow it. I'm not a crazy fan like our boy Miguel, but you're just kind of like that casual kind of jumps in. You're like, who are these guys?
I mean, I'm reading every bit of Manchester United news that I can absorb and get down. United States, that is. Now we're on a different leaf. I'm going to watch the games. You know, that's like kind of how my fanhood is going to grow and grow is like, oh, I just want to see it on the pitch. So instead of like reading about the team, reading about the coach, reading about the team selection, I'm going to watch the boys play. I have photos and videos of Adam Carrington. I'm still got one club that I'm following neck deep all day long.
So obviously American Red Devils, U.S. Men's National Team takeover. But sir, Manchester United, you say you're looking at Carrington training. How's it going? Little Manchester United tangent here.
Sir Rashford, he's coming back. He looks like he's ready to rock. Greenwood's ready to go. Sir, I'm excited.
This guy, full Muppet. We're back.
I can't wait, baby. They've got a big run of games. Next 6 weeks is going to be huge when the international break gets over. I know we're talking about United States, but United, sir. I cannot wait. Big games. Ole loves to step up when his back's against the wall. I'm ready for it.
Absolutely, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. You want to support the American Red Devils, you can do so via Patreon. We are for fans by fans. We're this small-time operation, and you want to support us, we think the best way to do it is Patreon. We do not have any sponsors on the pod. We think fan support is the best way to go in 2021, sir. You want to visit our Patreon page, check out www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Also, check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Great fan-generated content. Click on store, sir. We got our shirts up there with our Stanley Chow badge logo. They look fire. We're getting some more items in. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod. They don't cost any money at all. And I personally will send you some free merch from our warehouse of goodies. So all you have to do, write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got some cheeky banner, even better. We love that. I read it all the time. It makes my day. And send a screenshot to americaredevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will send you some merch just for boosting the pod, great way for us to get found organically, and it goes a long way, so we appreciate it. Sir, USA, 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 USA. Let's go, boys. Big game's coming up.
That was the big chant for us when we were down in Brazil. It was USA, USA. I don't know why, but that was a few light ales, and not dark ales down in Brazil. You know,
medium ales.
Some pilsners, sir. We're saying USA, USA. So let's jump into that roster. It's 27 men versus 26. There's a few reasons for that. Essentially, like I talked about before, Panama has just been put on the red tier by the United Kingdom. So essentially, UK-based players, Zach Steffen and Anthony Robinson, who were chosen, cannot go to Panama. So they're going to go to Columbus and train while the team goes away Sunday to Panama City. So kind of an interesting curveball there. Essentially, Berhalter has brought in an extra player, I think, to give him cover. He has 30. He didn't take them all, which is really interesting. I thought, you got this sort of COVID impact on the UK players. Why not bring some more players? Berhalter is keeping it at 27.
There you go. I mean, he doesn't want to bloat the squad, keep it focused, make sure that there aren't going to be players that just get brought along, don't even get a sniff at the ball. So I don't fault him for cutting the squad down a little bit.
All right, the best part of the pod by far is when Alex pronounces all the U.S. men's national team players' names.
Get the hell out of here.
So we're going to start with the goalkeepers. You want to give me who was selected on the 27-man roster?
These names are pretty straightforward. I should be able to get this right. Sean Johnson, Zach Steffen, and Matt Turner. Goalkeepers, what do you think about those, sir?
So Matt Turner is going to be the number one. Steffen is coming back from injury, sir. He played well last set of games, so I think Matt Turner will be number one. Give me the defenders.
George Bello, John Brooks, Serginho Dest, Mark McKenzie, Shaq Moore, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, and DeAndre Yedlin, sir.
And so since this list was released, Tim Ream and John Brooks. John Brooks has an injury at Wolfsburg, so he is back. He's not going to be playing. He got pulled. And then Tim Ream, for personal reasons, he's in the U.K., maybe another reason why I didn't want to come out because of the Panama and the travel restrictions. So Defenders, he did bring in some replacements. We'll get to that in a second. Give me the midfielder, sir.
Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Gianluca Busio, Luca De La Torre, Sebastian Legit, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musa, Christian Roldan. How was that?
Sir, love the midfield. Give me the forwards.
Last but not least, Brendan Aaronson, Paul Areola, Matthew Hope, Ricardo Pepe, Tim Way, and Giassi Zardes.
I mean, sir, you just navigated that one. I gave you like 9.5. I think you got them all. I mean, like, I think you got them all. That's a record on the podcast. Key ins and outs. So we're going to go through the outs. Who's missing from this list? Pulisic, obviously, he's out. Ankle injury he picked up on the last international break with the U.S. men's national team has kept him out. He's day-to-day. Berhalter said that, you know, he might pick up the bat phone, get Pulley in, but you doubt it. He doesn't have fitness. He's been out for a while. He's going to stay in the U.K. Gio Reyna, Dortmund hamstring. This is probably the biggest one. I think he played the best for the U.S. men's national team last set of games. We're really going to miss Gio Reyna. John Brooks, probably our top center back. Him and Tim Ream together. Wolfsburg and Fulham, like I said, they went down late last week. And then not called up Jordan Pefok, who famously scored against Manchester United for the Young Boys. He was picked last time, isn't this time. Same with Josh Sargent, who plays right at Norwich. And Daryl DK at Orlando City. He did well in the Gold Cup, but hasn't featured yet. So as far as the strikers goes, it looks like he's going for pace and not size. These are hold-up men versus kind of what he selected. I think that's the big change from Berhalter for this set of games.
The big absence has got to be Reyna. He was such a breakout. I think his name has been well known across the soccer. We're calling it soccer. Throughout the soccer universe, he just like looked like such an emerging talent. I know all the hype is around Pooley, of course, but Gio looks like a proper player, top talent. So have him missing. Now, I heard that Pepe kid's pretty good, so maybe we'll see more of him as well. So it's an opportunity for other players to kind of break out and get their time in the sun, because these are big games coming up.
So the big ins on that list, Weston McKennie, obviously he got the boot, broke team protocol, broke COVID protocol. He's at Juve. So I like that edge that he has.
I'd like him at United.
He's a bad boy. He gets caught, gets the boot, coming back. You got to have him. He's that good. That's the status he has. So we'll hear what Berhalter has to say on that in a second. Walter Zimmerman, he just got put on the list from Nashville. He's in for Tim Ream. Berhalter has not replaced John Brooks yet. And then Jesse Zardes is in. Sir, interesting that he goes Zardes over Pefok, Sargent, and DK. A little controversial, but I think Berhalter has a soft spot for Jesse Zardes, and I know I'm mispronouncing it, but it's too good.
I don't even know what it is. I thought Pefok, I mean, he looked pretty good in the last run of games when he did get some minutes. He looked good, pretty good against United, to be fair.
Look, it's all on Berhalter, sir. And speaking of the man, I mean, he's his pressers are
here. He is.
He can learn something from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That's all I gotta say.
The first round was just an amazing learning experience for the entire group. You know, when you think about how many players made their debut and, you know, the coaching staff and the players learning together what exactly this is about. So looking at this window, looking at the roster, some things that we have to take into consideration are potential yellow card accumulation suspensions. You know, we have four guys in this current camp with yellow cards. The other thing we have to take in consideration is potential travel bans with some of our players not being able to go to Panama. And then finally, injuries, you know, which is always part of World Cup qualifying. You know, this camp is no exception with a couple of notable players being out. So we feel like we're in a good spot for this upcoming window. Our focus now is solely on Jamaica and preparing to win that game.
Thanks, Greg. We'll begin with Ron Blum from the Associated Press.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for doing this. What did Weston have to do and say to you to persuade you that he should be allowed back in for one? And two, as it stands now, for the England-based players, do you just leave them behind in the U.S.? Do they continue practicing, if so, in Austin or practice in Columbus? How do you work that?
So the day of departure for the team, they would move on to Columbus and get acclimated to the conditions in Columbus. So that would be the plan for them. We'd probably leave a physical coach and potentially a technical coach back with them to continue their training. Regarding Weston, you know, and I'm glad we're addressing this right away because, you know, when this thing happened, you know, we stressed the importance of us having a young team, people making mistakes, and people being held accountable for their mistakes. And that's exactly what it was and what it is. You know, I spoke to Weston, you know, he's very forthcoming at the time. And as far as I'm concerned, this is something that's done. You know, he's still going to be held accountable for his behavior. Everybody's going to be held accountable, but this isn't something that we hold on, guys. And that's not the type of culture we have in the group. And it won't be moving forward. So Weston's back in and, you know, we had good conversations with him and he's focused on helping the team win a game.
Next will be Brian Strauss from Sports Illustrated.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, Greg. You ran through it in your opening comments, the yellow cards, the injuries, the Panama situation. And you also have talked about how many guys you used during the first window. So I guess for me, the slight surprise on this roster is that you didn't call in more bodies, just more guys to have just in case there's this level of attrition either through injury or suspension, through the travel, through these three difficult games. So I'm just curious how you kind of came to decide that this was the number of players you wanted. And when you look at guys like Pifokker or Conrad, who did have that experience, why you could have just as easily justified sort of bringing in some reinforcements, considering how difficult this all is.
Yeah, 27 guys. I mean, in my opinion, 27 is a decent number. It's a decent group. Anytime you have to leave, you know, eight players off the game day roster, it's never the easiest. But I think you know, the most important thing here, Brian, is that there were difficult decisions to make. You know, Jordan, you highlighted Jordan Pifokker. That was certainly a difficult decision, and it was based on how we see the games playing out. It was based on the depth that we see in the striker position, and you know, our need in these games for some verticality and some speed to get behind the back line. So other guys, you know, that you can mention were Conrad, who, you know, came back from the camp and took some time to get back into his role in Marseille, but is still, you know, still contributing there at a decent level. He was another difficult decision. You know, you have Matt Miazga, who's playing for Alaves. They just beat Atletico Madrid. You know, so there were James Sands, who's done a good job with us in the past, Walker Zimmerman. So, you know, these are the really difficult decisions. And, you know, we tried to put a roster together, a balanced roster that we feel can compete through all three games.
Sir, we don't hear from the man a lot, right? We went a little long on the presser just because we don't really know him. And you got to kind of hear him out on these decisions like he discussed.
You got to hear from the horse's mouth. I don't know. He does like put in perspective Ole's pressers. I like what he said about McKennie to a certain regard, you know, that owned up to responsibility for what he did. Did he get banned by Berhalter or by
Berhalter?
By Berhalter. Fair enough. So I thought he like addressed that decently. And I just thought his comments about leaving players out kind of makes sense.
It's a little direct. I mean, it was interesting for him
to say.
Almost
too much info, right?
Yeah, but I actually like it because he's kind of explaining the decision where Ole kind of always plays coy, you know, whether he starts somebody or not or whether Donnie's playing or not. Just like coy, 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 easy. He never gives you nothing. Ole gives you nothing.
That's almost too much.
And he's just like, yeah, we want to get him behind. Yeah. We need pace. Like, these guys are slow. Like, we need fast guys. We need wingers. Stretch to the field. I like the idea of him kind of talking about the thought process behind his decision because I think, you know, that gives him, he looks like kind of like a lunatic on the sideline sometimes. So to actually hear him say something smart, I'm like, all right, you know, I agree.
I mean, I agree, but it's like, should a coach be telling him that much? Giving away his tactics?
Sir, in soccer press conferences, you soccer never know. Like, you know, it totally makes, it does, it's kind of different in like, you can see the European press is harsher, so you give him less. American press, they don't know nothing. Don't. So you got to tell them what's up. Look, let's jump into the what I think, sir. I picked the starting 11 here. I'm going to go through it. Obviously, three games. You're going to Panama. Players got to get dropped, so you can't call a starting 11 for every team. But just looking at the group of players, what type of formation we could see, sir? I want to see the 4-3-3. I think Turner will be in net. Robinson at left back. Robinson at center back. Richards, who plays at Hoffenheim. Jorginho Dest. Tyler Adams in the midfield. Plays for RB Leipzig. CDM.
Woo, I like the sound of that.
So then you get the midfield two of Weston McKennie and Musa, who plays for Valencia. Aronson, who plays for RB Salzburg. And Pepe up top as a striker and Timothy Way on the right wing. Young team, sir. You see teams from all over the world. Turner, New England Revolution. You got Atlanta United. You got Juventus, Bundesliga,
Fulham.
Dude, it's and the French league with Timothy Way.
Barcelona, sir. Barcelona. It's quite a list. It's a solid team
and young as well. I mean, this is the most exciting thing about coming to watch U.S. Men's National Team this time around is you got a young side. So I remember when we were old.
I remember when you had the old 11
Brazil. We
Tim
were old.
Howard. Right?
Brazil, we were old.
Dempsey.
Yeah. And now we're like very young and deep.
That's who you want to be.
Deep roster, right?
And that's who you want to be. A lot of players, a lot of rotation. Because this game's coming up. And this is a very strong 11 playing in Europe.
Exciting 11 as well. And the 4-3-3, sir. Just one CDM. Berhalter, give it to me. Ole, give it to me. Just one holding midfielder.
Come on.
Manchester United signed Tyler Adams.
Yeah, I don't know. McKennie.
Come on.
McKennie, I got my eye on. He's a player.
He is. I think he could be a great player for Manchester United. Also got that edge, sir. He got the boot. Remember, violated the protocols. Bro, that's
part of the reason I like him.
Sir, we're going to recap the results. Last time around in September World Cup qualifying, we played three games. El Salvador, USA, we drew. Very disappointing draw. That was away at San Salvador, so tough place to sit, tough place to play. But still, you got to be like getting at least a point there.
Well, it wasn't great.
Played Canada and Nashville, Tennessee. Miguel went out there. America Red Devils correspondent. Tough draw, 1-1, even with Miguel in the stance.
We almost lost that game. I remember that game. Like they had a couple opportunities on the break at the end where we got like cut open and we looked like we didn't have an idea. So I think we were lucky to get a draw on that one. We could have easily lost.
First two games, sir, young team, look nervous, look all over the board. You know, McKennie bounced. And then we come back, Honduras scores early against us. Then we have a huge comeback, 4-1, Ricardo Pepe, Aronson, key players in this. Berhalter, I think, showed some gumption. I think Canada, he kind of froze like Ole a little bit.
Yep.
Subs late, didn't do enough.
Yep.
Then he comes back and goes for the game.
Early subs.
Wins it 4-1. Early subs, halftime subs.
Big changes.
Big changes. Gets the United States back in it. Turning point for a young team and a young manager, I'm hoping. So you kind of have this rough start. You end on a high. Can you keep that going, sir? You should be able to do it with a home crowd, right?
We say a lot of the same things. The parallels between this club and our club,
it is.
My
it's
club,
interesting.
Is so similar, especially the manager in some regards. But like sometimes we need to see more of this Mole. He threw like the kitchen sink at it because he knew he was. I think there's a part of the news playing for his job ultimately.
Everton Ronaldo halftime. Right. Everton Ronaldo starts Woody Ole.
But making those subs because he like had to and going for it, it just showed a lot of conviction. I think it inspired the team. That's a big game, big win. He's got to just keep showing conviction.
Sir, just taking a look at the table. Mexico, first place, 7 points. We're in a three-way tie with Canada, obviously us, and Panama at 5 points. Costa Rica, fifth at two. Honduras tied with them, as well as El Salvador on 2 points. Sir, then you have Jamaica, eighth place.
Must win game.
Jamaica coming to our house. First game, must win. Three in, sir. You top three qualify. We are technically qualified right now. Fourth place goes to the Inter-Confederation playoff. So, I mean, it's early. This is early. This is a big three games. It's almost makes me a little nervous because they're easy. Like with Manchester United, it makes me nervous. The easy fixtures are nervous. The big fixtures, we show up. I could see us beating Mexico.
Losing
I could see
to
us
Jamaica.
Like drawn Panama.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the same parallels with Manchester United. The updated CONCACAF FIFA rankings, Mexico was ninth last time. September, their ninth. We dropped 4 points from 10th to 14th. Costa Rica stays even at 54. Jamaica dropped down. Obviously, their last in CONCACAF is going to hit their ranking. They're 59. They were 50. Canada moves up to 51 from 59. Honduras stays at 63. El Salvador bumps down 1 to 65 from 64, and Panama moves up a little bit, given their strong start, to number 68, sir. So, again, the distance between 14th and 44, sir, that's what we're talking about. It's really just us and Mexico. We should be 1-2. We should be beating Mexico. Sir, we beat them all summer. You got to be beating them in World Cup qualifying.
I don't think 2's got to be like the minimum. You know, like
the minimum.
There's no, I mean, second place. There's no shame in finishing second to Mexico in the group. But I think top 2 is like must.
So jumping into the matches, I'm going to give you where you can watch these. Good news, 2 of them are on cable on Real TV, sir. October 7th, this Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, sir. Great kickoff time. Jamaica versus United States men's national team will be on ESPN2, Univision. So you can just get on cable, sir. We'll be playing in Austin, Texas at Austin FC's new stadium. So it'll be rocking, sir. The stadium was just opened, I think, in 2020. It's sick. It's going to be a great night. Jamaica should be shook. Sir, we shouldn't worry too much. We've beat Jamaica 18 times. We've drawn 8. We've lost 3, sir. First time we played them was 1988. Bookies have us heavy favorite at minus 320. Jamaica plus 750 to win. What do you think, sir, for your score prediction here? Jamaica versus the United States.
Jamaica be crazy. 1-0. I think it's going to be a nervy game. Tight one. Jamaica's going to come out to play. But United States get the victory.
keep going with United.
I can't. Same idea.
So I'm going to say 3-1. I don't think we're going to get the clean sheet because we're Timothy Way, John Brooks, we're down. So I think the defense is going to leak one. Could be like 3-2, but I'm going to go 3-1. United States win against Jamaica. Then we're going to go to Panama October 10th, Sunday, 8:45 p.m. Eastern or 5:45 p.m. Pacific. Paramount Plus, sir. They're playing at the Estadio Olimpico Rommel Fernandez Gutierrez Stadium in Panama City, Panama. You're big Panama fan. He loves Panama so much, he told me to go vacation there.
Yeah, he's dying to go back.
Sir.
I'll tell you what. How great of a time did you have in Panama? Tell me about Panama.
Panama's a wonderful place. Panama City is really nice. Where Alex told me to go, it's not nice. Sorry. Don't take vacation recommendations from Alex. So Max. I got history. Me and Alex got history with Panama. Sir.
I don't know what that is. Panama. I'm called 1-0.
Alex is not a travel agent. That's all you say. Games 117. Lifetime versus Panama. Games 117. Games drawn 4. Games lost 2. First time we played Panama was 1993, sir. We won 2-1 in the Gold Cup. Again, Panama is down the list, sir. The lowest ranked team in CONCACAF. We're going to Panama City. We should be getting 3 points here. You know, you really got to be taking 3.
You would think so, but this is a tough place to play. You know it. You've been there. Tough place to play. Number one Panama fan. I think you lose 1-0. 1-0.
Big Panama City guy, sir.
Tell me more.
Give me one of those hats.
Get him to the Panama Canal.
I did not take the tour of the... Alex would recommend the tour of the Panama Canal. That's the type of travel advice.
I'm not sure, like, I would recommend.
You know all those ships that are sitting there? Yeah. It's a great sight to see. Go see those. That's Alex's recommendation for sure.
Did I recommend the tour?
Sir.
You're bitter about Panama.
Panama. What's the score prediction? What do you got?
1-0 Panama. I think we lose in Panama.
Sir, I'm going to say 1-1. We're going to draw Panama. We're going to get 1 point. You're going to say we lose. Then we're going to move on. October 13th, Wednesday, Costa Rica versus the United States. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, ESPN2, or Unimas. Sir, they're playing at lower.com field. Columbus, Ohio, home of the Columbus Crew.
OH.
Berhalter coached the Columbus Crew as well. Costa Rica, this is the big one, sir. You look at the record, games won 18, games drawn 5, games lost 16.
Oof, tight.
It's very even with Costa Rica, sir. Like I said, we have lost our last 3 World Cup qualifiers to Costa Rica. Our last one was March 2013. That was in the snow in Denver, Colorado. It was like a blizzard. And like the Costa Rica, we froze them to death, sir. And we won 1-0. You know, it's like that's literally like... That should be the strategy.
Ice them out.
Should take all the CONCACAF opponents and take them up in the snow.
In Alaska. Is it snowing yet?
Exactly. That's exactly where we should be playing these games. That would advantage the United States. Sir, Costa Rica comes to our house, Columbus. What do you think?
3-2 United States, big comeback, huge game, barn burner, end-to-end stuff, instant classic. What you got?
Sir, 2-1 Costa Rica. Oof. I think they're going to get us. You know, it's one of these where I'm trying to predict the opposite, but I just think this team, sir, this is a big game. This is a very big game, Costa Rica. They got our number, and I see Berhalter on the sideline. Makes me nervous. If he manages like he did against Honduras, then I'm not as nervous. But I think I have to see him come out. I think they're going to get us here 2-1. I'm going to say 4 points, sir. You're going to say 6 points for the United States. I think we need something like six.
Six.
We realistically need six. I just think it's probably a little too much of a reach right now for this team. And it's a shame because we're playing all the easy opponents early.
But Costa Rica is not too easy, but you should be beating Jamaica, Panama, no problem. So six is the minute. You got to be winning those two games. The hard game, of course, is Panama on the road, right?
You got to win that.
I know, but 4 points. It could definitely be 4 points.
You got to win either Panama away or Costa Rica at home. That's what it comes down to. Jamaica is no-brainer slam dunk, and you got to win one of the others. If you draw and win, like you're like golden. And we absolutely are dying for that. Jumping to fan questions at IC1 on Twitter. Do y'all think that Greg Berhalter needs to go? I think he's holding us back, but again, so is U.S. Soccer holding us back.
Facts.
Soccer.
I don't think he needs to go yet. I think he should be given probably this round of games, and then depending on how this goes, at least one additional round of games. By 9 games, you should have a good chance to, like, if you're not in the top 2 or like firmly in third, I think that would be an issue and you should probably get replaced.
Yeah, if he isn't above 4, there's gonna be rumblings. Like if we lose and get a point, like there'll be rumblings
for good reason.
For good reason, yeah, because you got to do better than that against Mexico. At Austin FFL, quote, going to the Costa Rica match in Columbus, please promise me we'll play better than we did in the opening campaign. I mean, that Honduras game was pretty sweet, so you know, sign me up for that Honduras match, but the Canada and the El Salvador, oh my God, that was horrible. Like, you were texting me like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I was looking forward to having football to watch this weekend. Thinking back to how bad we played some of those games, like, well, it's kind of like United.
So that's it, sir. That's it for fan questions. The United States men's national team takeover. As far as United topics, sir, I wanted to bring up one correction earlier. I said the game, I believe it is, hold on, Jamaica game, I said it was 5:30 p.m. Pacific. It is 2:30 p.m. Pacific, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. All these times were in Eastern, so 2:30 p.m. Pacific, so early Thursday kickoff. Very strange.
Very strange.
But hey, it's not 4:30 a.m. So I mean, when you look at the man shitty fixture and it's 5:30 and you're like celebrating,
I know that's
that
huge.
Shows you how hard the season's been. we're gonna do a little United in the news here, sir. Sir Alex Ferguson caught on camera talking to Khabib Nagam. I can't even say his name. I can't even pronounce it.
Don't try ask me.
Nagamedov. I tried.
Don't do it.
I actually tried. So he's talking to him. And he says
he's talking to him.
On his Instagram, Khabib posted the video. Sir Alex says, you got to play your best players.
Ronaldo watch. Here we go. Should have started Ronaldo.
Sir Alex Ferguson said, you got to start your best player.
You know why?
Because
I didn't win.
I mean,
I did see that. That's our pressure's on, bro. How hot is that seat? 425.
Sir Alex is like, I love it, though. Don't you love it? Because it's so obvious.
Dude, the standards have risen so high, but so quickly.
He's like sitting in the stands. He's like, what is this?
What's he doing?
What is he doing?
What's he doing?
Not starting Ronaldo.
Come on.
And it's like, why isn't Sir Alex like, there should be a bat phone down to Ole.
Ronaldo signal.
You put him on now.
Put him on.
You put him on now. This is the one thing about Moyes. Anyone who's taking the job. I'd be begging him for advice. I'd be bothering him. Ain't nobody want to talk to the greatest manager of all time, sir. I don't get it. It's like they want to do it their own way. I would literally be like learning from the guy. I'd ask him, like, who should start?
I'd be like, you shouldn't have to ask who should start, but like,
I get like a live camera to training ground. I mean, and I'd be like, he'd sit at home on his couch. He goes right to his TV. He watched training, and I'd be like, who plays?
See, I think is that he knows how important that game was. Like, you should be winning against Everton at home. You don't drop those points.
you don't not start him because it was a big winnable game before a big tough run of games. So I think that's the big thing is like, yo, you need that win, bro.
Very bizarre. There's no Ole watch. There's no Ole out. I just thought it was really interesting. Sir Alex kind of like said it, and it is very obvious. We said it. Like, it's just like, why aren't you playing Ronaldo? If you're going to play him for 45 minutes, play him for the first 45.
Right.
Yeah. Because he said Everton, his comment was like, Everton saw the team sheet. They weren't afraid. He's playing the mind games before the kickoff.
You can't play him every game, but I agree that, like, I think the game would have been a little different. Different decisions could have been had, you know, unrelated to Ronaldo. I don't think he was the killer. The killer was that midfield, if you remember correctly.
Sir,
Fred, burger with cheese.
Sir, I remember like a little United news. There's not much to talk
about. Ronaldo. Why? You just wanted to talk about Ronaldo. Bro.
No, Sir Alex Ferguson saying that, I thought was very, like, he should not be on film saying that.
Handler should be keeping it.
I don't think he's in with the social media. He doesn't know. Either way, that's the podcast. We're the American Red Devils. We are for fans, by fans. Again, we did our best without our boy Miguel, the U.S. Men's National Team expert. If we got anything wrong, go easy on us. We're just two fans giving that biased fan take from the couch. U.S. Men's National Team, exciting times qualifying, sir. We are going to Qatar. It's going to be an absolute wild ride. You want to support the podcast? Check us out on Patreon. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review. It goes a long way to help the podcast, and it costs nothing, sir. Give them the top 10 cities last 7 days.
Speaking of mispronunciations, you ready to go? Here we go. We're loading up. Easy, easy ones. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Des Moines, Iowa. Columbus, Ohio. Runcorn, United Kingdom. Oh, there's a tough one. Anon, Vietnam. Appreciate y'all. Clemson, South Carolina. Broussard, Louisiana. Toronto, Canada. Alpharetta, Georgia. Los Angeles, California, and last but not least, New York, New York. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Big run of games for the United States. Big, big run of games for Manchester United in 10 days.
Sir, a lot of football is going to be really, like, what's going to go on with how's Manchester United come back from international break? How the United States is going to do? Both teams are kind of in flux. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. It's kind of crazy. It's like... Like you said, the parallels are astonishing. We're going to leave you with, sir, we're from New Jersey. We grew up on this stuff. Come on. U.S. Men's National Team. Let's go. Can you hear?
Yeah. Yeah, good.
New Jersey, baby.